Merry Christmas. And a Happy New Year as well. It's an honor and a blessing to be here in the house of our Lord as we end one year and begin a new one in the name of our Lord, in the hearing the word of the Lord and receiving his grace in the sacrament of the altar. If you are a guest or visiting with us here this evening, we're especially glad you're here along with all of our members alike. And just a reminder for everyone to fill out the attendance card you can find in your pews. Our ushers will collect those along with the offerings midway through our service. Note about the service, we do have a psalm that will be chanted all together, and that is printed in the bulletin, Psalm 90, and that'll take place shortly after the absolution. So Psalm 90 in the bulletin, there's an antiphon at the beginning that'll be chanted again at the end. Everything else is available there in the outline for the bulletin, and then the hymns in the hymnal. Order of service for tonight is Divine Service Setting 4. It begins on page 203 in our hymnal, and thank you to Mr. Eli Beadle for playing on the organ here this evening. We sing now the first hymn, 733, O God, our help in ages past. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger, and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. To God on high be glory and peace.
To all the earth, goodwill from God be men.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal God, we commit to your mercy and forgiveness the year now ending, and commend to your blessing and love the times yet to come. In the new year, abide among us with your Holy Spirit, that we may always trust in the saving name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for New Year's Eve is from Isaiah chapter 30. And now go. Write it before them on a tablet and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come as a witness forever. For they are a rebellious people, lying children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, "Do not see," to the prophets, "Do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy illusions, leave the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And its breaking is like that of a potter's vessel that is smashed so ruthlessly that among its fragments not a shard is found with which to take fire from the hearth or to dip up water out of the cistern. For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling. And you said, "No, we will flee upon horses. Therefore you shall flee away. And we will ride upon swift steeds. Therefore your pursuers shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of 5 you shall flee, till you are left like a flagstaff on the top of a mountain, like a signal on a hill." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Together we confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God had done it all for the people of Israel. God remembered his promise, made first to Adam and Eve. God spared Noah and his family in the flood for the sake of his promise. God called Abraham from Ur and brought him to Canaan, the land of promise. Yahweh was with Joseph as he was sold into slavery by his own brothers. God worked through Joseph to care for his father Jacob and for all the family, allowing them even to thrive and to grow in Egypt. God remembered his promise to Adam and to Eve, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, as he called Moses from Pharaoh's court to be the rescuer of God's chosen people. God brought judgment upon the Egyptians through the 10 plagues, foreshadowing the judgment that would come upon the world, as he had done first in the great flood. God brought the descendants of Abraham out of Egypt and delivered them into the promised land once more. Covenant after covenant was made by God with his people. He did the work of creating, of redeeming, of rescuing, and sustaining his people. What did the people owe God in return? Well, truly, they owe God everything. But God simply called for faithfulness. Trust in him, no matter what. That would not always be easy, however. For God had established Levitical law for his chosen people, for them to follow, for them to show their faithfulness to him. And these were not meant to be impossible rules and laws for the people to keep and abide by, but an opportunity for them to stand apart as those who are the chosen people of God, those who serve the one true God and to show that he is that true way of life and salvation. And yes, sacrifices were to be offered in a very specific way in the temple, in the tabernacle, according to that law of God. People of God were called by God to dress and act in a way and carry themselves in a specific way as God directed them and commanded them so to do. Following these directives of God, the people did stand out from the others in the world around them. That in itself was a test from God, for the people then to show that they value even more greatly than anything else in the world their status as those who are called by God, who belong to him as the one true God and his chosen people. And so God blessed his people, blessed them through King David and through King Solomon, allowing their borders and their riches to grow and to increase. But that was all for the purpose of drawing more and more people into proximity, into contact with the promises of God. For God had said earlier in the book of Genesis that through Abraham all the nations of the world would be blessed. But that could not happen. And it would not happen if Israel would turn in on itself and push the world out. Trust in God, and he would take good and proper care of them. Trust in Yahweh, in his Holy One, and they would have nothing to fear. Easier said than done, of course, for man, but not for God. The kings of Judah and Israel, following David and Solomon, they were swayed by the ways of this fallen world. Approaching enemy armies coming into their proximity caused them great fear and trepidation. They could more easily trust those other entities that they could see and interact with. And that was their support that they would get from these foreign nations. But in doing so, making these alliances and allegiances with outside nations, they abandoned their faithfulness to God alone. The people of God would not keep their part of the covenant agreement that God had established with them for the sake of all the world. And so tonight's Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 30 is appropriate as one year ends and the new one begins. The Assyrians had already conquered Israel in the north. Judah and Jerusalem were next on the chopping block. King Hezekiah was one faithful ruler of the Judeans, trusting in Yahweh God to protect and to save. But King Ahaz was one who did not. Ahaz and others like him sought refuge in nations like that of Egypt, their former captors. With the Egyptians, of course, there was no certainty. They could pull away from Judah at any time, or even worse, mount up opposition against Judah. With God, the people could be certain that he would indeed fight for them, as he did with their ancestors in the wilderness, with their ancestors going into Jericho and into the promised land, if only they remained faithful. Paul's words from Romans chapter 8, which began our text for this evening, would have been a common theme for those who were truly faithful, those who would have that same faith. If God is for us, then who can be against us? For who can stand against Almighty God? No other God, no other power on earth has created all things. No other God, no other power has tread upon the waters of the deep. No other God, no other power has caused the sun to rise and to set. So Yahweh God, with all power, with all authority, has the right to call his people rebellious and lying children, as he does in Isaiah chapter 30. They are unwilling to hear the instruction of Yahweh God. They want the prophets of God to zip their lip, to remain silent about the truth, to only speak what they as the people want to hear, to allow them to continue on in their sinfulness, in their sinful behaviors. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. God then gives to his people the call to repentance, to turn from faithlessness and to live. In returning and in rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. Now these words guide us today, as they have done for all of God's people all throughout history. Like for the people of Judah, the way things were going right now can change. At any given moment, that could happen for us today as well. Our plans, our ideas are fleeting. There is no certainty in anything except the Lord. And that same characteristic applies to the last day. The Lord Jesus will return like a thief in the night, the Bible says. No one knows the very moment of his return. And while we do not know when that final moment will come, we do know the one who will return on that last day, for he is the one whose birth we have most recently celebrated yet again. He is the one who is our Savior, the one, the Holy One of Israel, who has come here into this created realm to join with us in our human nature to make us ready for the eternal kingdom. The Master will soon return. He will make his voyage back to us, and his servants must be ready for his return. And in order to make you ready, the Lord Jesus, our Master, has come dressed to serve. He has clothed himself in our human vesture. He who knew no sin in his own holy body took on all sin for us. He who knew no sin in that body bore the whole burden of the sin of all the world in his own body to the cross. And there he offered up his life as the sacrifice for all sin. His blood was shed and poured out upon the cross, the very altar of sacrifice for all the world. Jesus is the fulfillment of all of those promises of God that he made in each and every one of his covenants throughout all the time with his people. And he remembered every last promise. And Jesus has come. And he has served you and all people through his perfect life, through his innocent suffering, and through his agonizing death. The Lord Jesus has served you with the forgiveness of all your sins, cleansing you from all unrighteousness by his own great grace and mercy. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, the Lord Jesus began the new covenant. As before, Jesus, who is God now in the flesh, did all the work for the salvation of his people. He alone secured the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life for those who believe in him. Jesus is the one who has washed you clean in his blood through the very promised salvation that flows freely in the waters of holy baptism. You are renewed again and again in that covenant of promise through the absolution, granting you the forgiveness of sins after you have confessed those sins once more. And Christ Jesus feeds you with that food of the new covenant, his own body and his own blood, with life everlasting and his supper. That is the service that the King of Kings offers for his people. That is his part that he does in the new covenant. But what is your part? And what is mine? The same as before, faithfulness to God, trust in him above all things, for he is for you. So who can possibly be against you? Trust in him above all things, and such faith to do so is not something we can do on our own. It is something that must be granted to us as a gift by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the word of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit empowers you to avail yourselves of the service of Christ as King, to receive forgiveness anew, again and again in the Word and in the sacrament here, in this place, the place of Christ's service for your salvation. And in that same Jesus, you are dressed and you are ready for his return and for whatever may come your way in this earthly life, especially in this new year to come. For he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? For he who did not spare his son is the one who has granted us eternal life and everlasting salvation. There's no charge anyone can bring against you, those who are the elect of God. For God has seen fit to justify you through faith and trust in Christ Jesus. God is the one who has done all of this for you, to keep you in his grace and in his promise. You are more than conquerors through the one who is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he loves you. With Paul, you can be certain that there is nothing that can separate you from that love of God in Christ Jesus. Not death, not life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation. For Christ our Lord has redeemed you. You belong to him. You are his people. He is your God. He is your Lord and your master, now and forever. And in that faith, by the great grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are dressed and you are ready for all that comes your way this new year and forevermore. Amen. the peace that does pass all of our human understanding. Guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, in this past year, you richly blessed us with your grace. In thanksgiving for all that you have bestowed upon us, we seek your blessing on the year to come. We ask that you would order our days in your peace, ever deepening our faith in your Son. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, help us to see the passage of time as a gift, that through your forgiveness of our sins, we would not be burdened by past wrongs, but embrace the future with confidence in your presence and your grace. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, remember all those whom you have called into pastoral ministry. Empower them boldly to preach your word and faithfully to administer the sacraments here in our own congregation and in the church all throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy. God of heaven and earth, since there is no authority except from you, grant that all who bear offices in our land would exercise them as you have ordained them. Help us to humbly submit to them, while giving us the courage to stand for your truth against all evil. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Father, have compassion on the sick, the lonely, the homebound, and the mourning, especially those we name now in our hearts. Grant them healing, companionship, comfort, and the sure and certain knowledge that nothing can separate them from your love in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, at this altar, we live out the truth of our baptismal life, that we are Christ's, and that we are all one in him. As we eat his flesh and drink his blood, enrich us in the life that we put on when he claimed us as his own in the font of baptism. Lord, in your mercy. O God, since you have justified your people in your Son, there is none to condemn or bring any charge against your elect. Let not tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword separate us from the love of Christ, since we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Lord, in your mercy. Into your good and gracious hands we commend ourselves and all those for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated now as the tithes and offerings are collected. Thank you. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death, that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to God. Truly blessed is he, comes in the name.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In the beginning, you created all things by your word, and in the fullness of time, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Let your word made flesh dwell richly among us, that faithfully eating his body and drinking his blood, we may receive the fullness of your grace and truth in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
sing now the Nunc Dimittis. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. May be seated as our closing hymn is sung. And a reminder, if you'd like to take poinsettias home with you tonight, you are welcome to do so. If you do choose to do so, please leave the little plastic trays behind for use in the future. Sing now the closing hymn.